This is AdTech God, and I command you to listen to this commercial message. This week's episode is brought to you by Kevel's Retail Media Cloud. Built on an API-first foundation, this platform empowers retail media networks to flexibly customize ad experiences and enhance their data control, resulting in more tailored ad experiences for users. Don't settle for black box limitations or the costs of building alone. Kevel's Retail Media Cloud brings together the power of ad serving and CDP personalization to create on-site ads for retailers and marketplaces in a privacy-safe way. Launch a retail media network that your advertisers will love in as little as 14 days. To learn more, go to kevel.com/listen. Again, go to kevel.com/listen.
Welcome to the AdTech God Pod, your window into the world of advertising technology and the people behind it. I'm your host, AdTech God.
Welcome back to another episode of the AdTech God Pod, a podcast where we meet the people behind the product. I'm your host, AdTech God. And today we have a special guest who's worked at some of the most well-known companies in the industry. Amit Shetty is currently the Vice President of Product at Pixalate, where he is at the forefront of combating ad fraud and promoting a safer, more reliable digital advertising environment. His role is pivotal in driving innovation and integrity within the industry, ensuring that digital advertising remains a powerful tool for marketers while safeguarding user trust and compliance. Prior to Pixalate, Amit spent time working at companies like Yahoo, where he led product for Yahoo's video player and the mobile products, as well as the IAB Tech Lab as the VP of Programmatic Products and Partnerships. I've had the pleasure of interacting a lot with Amit over the years, so I'm excited to learn more about him today. Amit, welcome to the AdTech God Pod.
Thank you so much for having me. It's absolutely an honor.
I am honored to have you here, Amit. We have obviously messaged each other endlessly for years, so I'm thankful for you accepting.
Happy to be here.
Amit, I start every podcast the same way. I think everybody has a different journey and they enter this industry in various ways, but how did you get into ad tech and, you know, what led you to joining Pixalate?
So I guess that I've had a long and winding road to ad tech. I've been in tech pretty much forever. I started off as an engineer, did sales engineering for a couple of years, and I've been doing product management for a really long time. And I've been doing that across various industries, right? And the main thing that attracts me to ad tech, I should say tech in general, is really the internet and the value that it provides to everyone, right? I mean, information for sure, entertainment for sure, but also utilities. And of course, the mobile phone really ramped up, but in my mind, it all comes down to the same umbrella, and that's the internet. And I would say advertising and ad tech in particular has played a key role in making all that accessible to everyone. And that's absolutely the reason why I, you know, enjoy this. So I spent a couple of years working in other industries like device management products for ISPs and for mobile providers, and also worked on some enterprise software and all that. I worked at Yahoo, where I was the product lead on the video player and then on the mobile platform. And that's probably when I got my first exposure to ad tech, right? So that's when I first heard about VAST and WePaid and OpenRTB and all those things. And then I did spend a couple of years trying to be an entrepreneur, which didn't work out. And then I saw this role at IAB Tech Lab and figured that my experience for the standards in my previous roles, my video background and all that would be relevant here. And so I reached out to Shaili Singh, who I didn't really know, but I'd met him at Yahoo a little. And the rest is history, I guess. I was at Tech Lab for about 5 years. And then I've been at Pixalate for a couple of years already here now. And I'm absolutely having the time of my life.
You have a great background, and you moved from what looked like, you know, software engineer into product. How was that transition for you, or was it pretty seamless and comfortable for you to do that?
I actually spent a good chunk of time in engineering, I think probably about 5 or 6 years maybe. And at some point, I think I figured that while I was pretty good, I really had more fun working with customers and really understanding what to build that, rather than the actual, you know, building part of it, I guess. And then when I spoke to my VP of product at that company, he said, maybe spend a little more time in a more customer-facing role. And that's the reason I spent a couple of years in sales engineering, working with clients a lot more, understanding how to really understand their use cases and things like that. And then I moved to product management. I'll say I was quite lucky in having that person kind of mentor me through that transition and support me as I made that change.
Right. It seems like, you know, that prior experience is what helped you, you know, obviously reach the point where you're at today. So understanding the engineering aspect of things helps you with the product building aspect today.
Having worked in all these different roles probably gives me a lot of empathy also in terms of, you know, what it takes to build the product, what it takes to sell the product and all that. And so I feel like those experiences have all, you know, got me to the way I look at building products right now.
Well, I mean, I think in any major role, as you start to transition more from, I guess, would that be more of a hands-on keyboard to a more like leadership and vision view of a particular responsibility, like it is important you understand the foundation of it all. And that empathy, I'm sure, has helped you be a great leader at Pixalate. So, Amit, with your time at Yahoo, your time at IAB Tech Lab, your time at Pixalate, what do you feel is your biggest achievement or thing that you're most proud of, your contribution to the industry?
I guess that I've obviously worked at a variety of products, taken products from zero to one, built products that generated millions of dollars and all that. But I think the thing that I'm really most proud of is the work that I did at IAB Tech Lab, to be honest. I was there for 5 years, which is a pretty long stint of time, definitely longer than I expected to be there. But I had so much fun while I was there. Worked across a wide variety of things, like on video and CTV. Worked on VAST, you know, helping with the transition to CTV, if you will, with video advertising. I wrote that CTV versus OTT blog post. Worked on the CTV IDFA effort, app as TXT for CTV, a variety of things. I really enjoyed that. I worked on podcast measurement, which is another thing that I'm really proud of and hopefully has helped podcasts really take off as well from an advertising point of view. I've worked on SK Ad Networks, worked on killing Flash, killing VPaid, a lot of killing there also going on, brand safety and all that too. So I guess that what I'm really proud of with all that is that I probably have had my hands in, I don't know, maybe about 70% of these, you know, ad tech standards out there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not claiming any credit for having thought of those things or anything like that. But I like to think that I helped shepherd them in the right direction.
Well, it's always a team effort, right? I mean, the IAB Tech Lab, who you know, I've obviously interviewed Anthony Katsour. It seems to me that it is a collaborative effort. And it's not just one individual. I mean, your contribution has obviously helped, and you should be proud of all those things. I mean, from app.ads.txt to podcast measurement, SCAD networks, Killing Flash, VPaid, brand safety, like those are all the foundations of our industry that are super important. So I would be proud too if I was a part of those types of projects. So I think it's wonderful you were there and cherish that experience that you have. So a lot of times what I try to do, Amit, is ask my guests, you know, the biggest milestones and the biggest challenges. What do you feel is the biggest challenge you've faced in this industry, you know, over your tenure?
I was thinking about that while preparing for this, and I think you'll like my answer. To be perfectly candid, I think it really was learning ad tech while I was at the Tech Lab. I mean, yes, I had a little bit of exposure to ad tech prior to that, but really I had to work, you know, get a handle on all the different things going on there, even though I was not really building products at Tech Lab, right? I mean, we are, for the most part, all about helping standards. This is an industry role. And so basically work with people across the industry, but not really build out products themselves. And so this is where I really had to, you know, embrace the role, right? Build those good relationships with people across the industry so that I could truly understand their use cases and business needs. Tech Lab is kind of like a Switzerland, if you will, and people are very open at the problems that they face and so on. And so really had to embrace that role, even though I'm not really an extrovert. And so that, I think, was a part of the challenge as well. The bottom line really is the biggest challenge, I would say, is, you know, the amount of learning that I had to do. And I should say, I really do wish that we had a lot more resources like we do right now. Things that you're doing, things that a couple of other folks are doing would have really been helpful for me at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the educational resource piece is important. there's obviously great companies out there that do it, right? Like, you know, we interact with Shiv all the time at U of Digital. You have Brian Barletta for Sounds Profitable, who he does a great job kind of educating the market on podcasts and measurement. You have a lot of resources that are created by companies themselves, but I feel like those are a little biased, you know, like, hey, this is how we do it. Do you want to learn how our platform does it? This is how we do it. That's how we want you to do it. But again, it's very helpful, but I still feel like there's a gap in market. And I still feel that the education for the basics should be out there, which is why I've put them on my website. So all of those courses are available. But I think for me, it's learning from a templatized process doesn't work for me as well as real life experience like you had at the IAB Tech Lab. And I'm sure the experience that you're getting at Pixelate, it's such a different learning style when you are deep into it, trying to sort out the problems, trying to resolve the issues, trying to find a fix. It is like the greatest education you can get.
Absolutely. There's nothing that can replace talking to clients and partners and really, you know, getting your hands dirty, if you will.
And that, I think that's the goal with some of these podcasts is like, how can I just also talk a little bit about a particular topic? So I think it's important. Amit, you've been at Pixelate for a little while now. You're vice president of product. How do you see the industry today versus where it was a few years ago? And what direction do you think the industry is heading in?
So obviously at Pixelate, I have a specific set of areas that I'm focused on. So I don't get to do everything that across the industry. I mean, there are areas that I think are very exciting for the industry right now, like things like ad creative kind of companies must be really ecstatic at this point with all the things they can do with Gen AI and so on. But the part which I think I like to focus on at my current role at Pixelate really is all about improving the ad inventory quality. So obviously, we are an ad fraud detection vendor. That is definitely our bread and butter. But we also do a lot of things around brand safety and general ad quality as well. One of the more recent areas of conversation has been MFA, made for advertising. It is a buzzword to a certain extent, but I'm really happy that it is something that's gaining traction right now, because we've talked about those kind of websites and apps and so on for ages. And now we can finally see people taking actions around that. Another area that I think is very interesting and exciting for me is supply path optimization. Really understanding, especially with the supply chain object, which is one of the fun things that I get to do here, right? So the standards that I worked on at Tech Lab, I now can actually use it in the real world, if you will. That is another area that I think is very exciting. And we are able to do some pretty interesting things around that. Actually, a sidebar there, I should say, one of the things I'm having a lot of fun at Pixelate with is our industry reports, right? So we basically produce a lot of industry reports that are, for the most part, really not focusing on Pixelate itself, right? So we are really focusing on the state of whether it is MFA, whether it is supply chain object, and so on. And that is something that, for example, on the supply chain object, we found that about 20% of the traffic is invalid, right? So even though there is a supply chain object in there, claims to be complete, it really is not complete. So there are a whole bunch of things that I think can be done on that front. Another area that I find it very interesting is around privacy, right? So we have been putting together products that help with the children's privacy, COPPA compliance, and things like that. We are also looking at the various privacy regulations and how we can help the industry with those changes, especially at scale, right? When you're talking about millions of apps and millions of websites and so on, how do you handle those kind of things? There are some very interesting things going on all those fronts, I think.
You mentioned the first two, MFA, and then the second one was supply chain. How common do you think the two are? Because they both have the same challenges, right? Like transparency, fraud, data and security issues, privacy issues. Which one in particular do you feel we should address as a higher priority? MFA, and, you know, try to eliminate that and obviously send our advertising dollars to improved quality publishers, or more supply chain and focus more on, you know, targeting the right type of sites that are appropriate for our brand, or it might be the same thing.
I see MFA is definitely a statement of ad inventory, you know, the quality.
do you really want to spend your dollars on websites and apps that are not the best user experience? And really, you know, how effective are the ads on those properties as well? Right. So that I think is a problem on its own that I think can be quite easily solved just by looking at the data, right? So Pixlr is a very data focused company, and we've been producing these lists of websites and apps and that are truly outliers in terms of the ad experiences on those. Supply path optimization, I think, is probably the more important thing in my mind, because I see that more as a tool with which you can fix a variety of things, right? So we originally started off at Pixlr. The product that I worked on first was really being able to look at IVT, look at ad fraud through the lens of your supply chain, right? And then use that to eliminate the quote-unquote weak nodes, if you will, without having to block an entire publisher or an entire app or what have you. The same lens can be applied to pretty much any of the other problems, right? So privacy or brand safety or anything else. And of course, the traditional concept of supply path optimization, right? You don't want too many hops in the nodes. You really want that efficiency to be better. Same with the ESG kind of things that we're talking about. Sustainability is also relevant there. So I find SPO to be one of the most powerful tools. And when I say SPO, I don't mean, you know, I feel like the industry now is looking at SPO as, hey, let's take the entire chain and cut it down to a direct relationship between the sellers and the buyers. That may work for some of the big folks, but I suspect that most of the cases, you really want to work with a variety of partners. And that's where tools like the supply chain object and what we are doing with the supply chain object is going to be useful.
Interesting. That's a great perspective. When you mentioned MFA and Pixlr, and obviously these multiple initiatives that the industry is going through, what is the final fix for MFA? I feel like we're still buying through Open Exchange in large volumes. Our approved lists or allow lists are relatively large. I mean, how do we protect our brands and protect the advertising dollars from going to, I guess, what I would call a money vacuum site that just, you know, takes all the money because it's built to take the money, rather than sending it to where it should go, which is honestly good websites with good journalism, with good quality content?
My view of this is really that it's all about data, right? And I'll talk about what we do, and I think really everybody can do something like what we're doing too. We do provide a high, medium, low notation based on a set of criteria that which we also publish. By the way, we try to be as transparent as possible on this front about the different factors that we use when we're talking about MFA. But we also provide the underlying data behind that to our clients, right? So what's the ad load that we're talking about? What are the placement number of placements that we're talking about for each of these sites and apps? And what people across the industry will need to do, I think, is really use that kind of data to decide, okay, who are the people that they really want to work with? And that's the reason why I'm saying that I find MFA as a less complicated problem than the SPO and other things that we're talking about, because it's really a two-dimensional view in my mind.
So, I mean, you're obviously ingrained in the industry, leading on products over at Pixlr. How do you, in particular, stay up to date on trending topics and importance? Where do you get the information yourself to help improve your knowledge of the industry?
I think that what I'm going to say, for the most part, will be similar to what many of your other guests have said, but I'll say that anyway. Definitely reading a lot, listening to podcasts, reading on social media. The reason I like social media as a source of information is that it kind of highlights the people that I'm following, what are the areas that they're interested in, and you know, kind of lets me look at those topics quickly, right? I like your Slack community. Things of that are, I think, great places to talk to other people in the industry. And then, of course, what we talked about earlier, right? Talk to your clients, talk to your partners, go to industry events. I think is always interesting. The one thing that I'd say that's probably different from most of the other folks is IB and IB Tech Lab are, I think, great resources, right? I know that not every company is a member of the IB or IB Tech Lab, but I feel like most are. And so you should really take advantage of that and go to the meetings if you can. Now, I know it's not easy to get to all meetings, but find the ones that are interesting and just go listen. I find that the people are so collaborative there and talk a lot about their challenges that you hear a lot of things, learn a lot just by listening in there. So that's one additional thing I think I can talk to.
I'm with you, by the way. I think the IAB provides a lot of insights, and I think it's important that we collaboratively work together to solve for challenges we have in the industry. They've done a great job over the last couple of years, to be honest, and I think they're continuing to do that.
I'm coming more not from a solving problems point of view, but just purely from an educational point of view, right? Just sitting in and listening to the conversations that happen in many of those working groups is fascinating, and you learn so much just from that.
So obviously IAB has taken a great role in doing that. But how do you think that information can be made more available to the public? I feel like a lot of us don't get access to those conversations.
That's the tricky part, right? So IAB obviously has to maintain a membership structure to be able to function, which does require those conversations to be limited to members, I think, for the most part. I know that they do try to take some of the highlights and, you know, use their events and webinars and stuff like that as places to, you know, go beyond the membership. And also, the public comment period is actually a very great time to have many of those conversations. I believe that IAB Tech Lab, for example, has transitioned to using GitHub, for example, to have many of those questions. Those are probably the ways you can interact. And I understand that it's a lot limited than being a member.
Well, Amit, I know this goes by really fast, but we've reached the end of the podcast. I really wanted to thank you for being here, and I appreciate you trusting me and being here to talk a little bit about your experience.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks again for all that you're doing, and please do continue on, keep up the good work.
I will. Thank you so much, Amit. Speak soon. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the AdTech God Pod, a podcast for the people about the people that make AdTech great. Stay connected with me for more insights, trends, and interviews in the realm of AdTech. Don't miss out on our latest updates, so follow me on X, Instagram, and connect with me on LinkedIn. Don't forget, ATG Slack community has insights, networking opportunities, and jobs. Keep the conversation going and stay at the forefront of AdTech innovation.